So we are on page 535. Classification of the five aggregates under 11 heads. Now I hope with the help of the handouts you can locate the chetas and chetasikas in the path of purification. The order given in the path of purification is different from that in the manual. And we are primarily acquainted with the order in manual. So we always go from that reference. So today is the classification of the five aggregates. So we have finished the five aggregates in detail. The foregoing section, firstly, is that of the detailed explanation of the aggregates according to the Abhidhamma Bhajaniya, that is, one way of treatment of the five aggregates in the second book of Abhidhamma. So Vibhanga is the second book of Abhidhamma. But the aggregates have been in detail, been given in detail by the Blessed One in the Suttanta Bhajaniya in this way. Now, in the Vibhanga, when Buddha treated the aggregates and also the other subjects, he treated first in the Suttanta exposition, and then Abhidhamma exposition, and then question and answer exposition. So in these three expositions, he treated the aggregates. So here the order of the path of purification took the first method of exposition, that is a Suttanta Bhajaniya. Any materiality whatever, whether past, future or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, far or near, all that together in the gross, is called the materiality aggregate, and feeling whatever and so on. And this can be found in other parts of the canon, that is in here in Majjhima Nikaya and other suttas also. And then the commentator explains the words whatever and materiality. So herein, the word whatever includes without exception. In Pali, the word is yankinchi. So yankinchi means whatever, or it can mean all. So the word whatever or yankinchi includes everything. So when we say, let us say, all materiality, then if we just say all, that means we have to take all materiality as well as, say, mentality. So all, the word all or whatever includes without exception everything. But to limit its scope, the word materiality is put. So materiality prevents over-generalization. That means, I think, over-extension. When you say all, then you cover both mind and matter. But when you say all matter, then you take only matter and not mind. So the word materiality prevents over-extension of the word whatever or all. So with these two words, we mean just materiality. All kinds of materiality, that is, past, future, present, and so on. The Pali word used here is atipasanga for overgeneralization. So pasanga means actually to stick. So when you say something, it extends to this thing, that thing, and so on. So in order to restrict the extension, then the word materiality is put here. So here, all materiality, that means only materiality and not mentality. Thus, materiality is comprised without exception by the two expressions. So all materiality is included, or taken by these two words. Then he undertakes its exposition as past, future, present, and so on. And here, the commentator explains past, future, and present in fourfold way. See, according to extent, according to continuity, according to period, and according to moment. So, extent past, continuity past, period past, moment past, like that. First, according to extent, in the case of a single becoming, that is, single life of one living being, previous to rebirth linking is past, subsequent to death is future. Between these two is present. So, one life, the present life is present, and the life before it is past, and life after it is future. This is according to extent. And according to continuity, that means a series of, say, matter or series of mind. So that materiality which has like or single origination by temperature. And single origination by nutriment, though it occurs successively, is present. Here, it is not single origination, but origination by single temperature. So, you can see the materiality which has origination by single temperature and single nutriment, like that. Here, single temperature means just one kind of temperature. See, you are in the sun, and so there is a hot temperature, heat. And then you go into the shade, and then the temperature changes, say, to cold. So that one series of hot temperature is said to be, say, present, and then before that, there may be some dissimilar temperature, and that is past, and another dissimilar temperature after that is future. So here, origination by single temperature, origination by single nutriment. That which previous to that was of unlike origination by temperature and nutriment, that is, origination by unlike temperature and unlike nutriment. Different temperature and different nutriment. That which is subsequent is future. That which is born of consciousness and has its origination in one cognitive series, in one impulsion, in one attainment, is present. Now, this is with regard to materiality born of consciousness. Has origination in one cognitive series. That means thought processes of five door. And in one impulsion really means mind door thought process. Because in mind door thought process there is only adverting and impulsion or javanas. So it is called just javana. So in one impulsion, origination in one impulsion means in one thought process belonging to mind door, in one attainment, that is attainment of jhana. Previous to that is past, subsequent to that is future. There is no special classification into past continuity, etc. of that which has its origination in karma, that which is caused by karma. So with regard to materiality caused by karma, there is no classification into past continuity, present continuity, or future continuity. But its pastness, etc., should be understood according as it supports those which have their origination through temperature, nutriment, and consciousness. But although karma does not produce, nevertheless, it supports the materiality caused by other causes, temperature, nutriment, and consciousness. So, in reality, there is no classification into past, present, and future continuity with regard to matter born of karma. But they can be said to be past, present, and future because they support the materiality caused by temperature, caused by nutriment, and caused by consciousness. And the footnote down there, footnote number 74, is in fact for this passage. Even in the sub-commentary, it is a little confusing. But the footnote is for this passage. It looks like explaining the words cause and condition in paragraph 191. But the subsequent paragraph in the footnote, beginning with because there is similarity and so on, refers to this sentence, there is no special classification into past continuity, etc., of that and so on. And in that footnote, about three or four lines, let's see, just as the seed's function is to arouse the sprout, and that of the earth, etc., is to consolidate it, and just so, just as karma's function is to arouse result as matter, that is due to karma performed, and there are some words missing, and resultant consciousness. So we have to put these words after performed, because the result of karma is not only matter, but also consciousness. You know, at the moment of relinking, there is the relinking consciousness, which is the result of karma. And along with this relinking consciousness, material properties caused by karma arise. So, karma produces not only karma-born matter, but also resultant consciousness. So here, we should say, to arouse result as matter that is due to karma performed and resultant consciousness. And that of the nutriment, etc., so etc. is missing there. That of nutriment, etc., is to consolidate it. So the function of and so on. So there are two kinds of causes, or whatever we call them. One that produces, and the other that supports or that consolidates. So two kinds of conditions. With regard to a seed becoming a tree or plant, so the seed is the producing cause of the tree, and earth, water, and temperature are the supporting conditions of the tree. And here, those that are born of karma, with regard to those that are born of karma, we cannot say that this belongs to past, this belongs to present, this belongs to future, because there is no similarity or dissimilarity in temperature, etc., in the way stated, the firstness, etc., of material instances originated by it as stated according to continuity. But there is no such similarity and dissimilarity in the karma that gives birth to a single becoming. So instead of stating according to continuity, the pastness, etc., of material instances originated by that, it is stated according to what consolidates. So with regard to what it consolidates, the matter born of karma can be said to be belonging to present, past, present, or future. Past, present, or future. And then the sub-commentator added his own observation with the words beginning, however, when there comes to be reversal of sex and so on. It may not please ladies. Now, in the especially in the Vinaya, there are instances of people having their sexes changed. I mean, changed by karma, not by surgery. So there are instances of a change of sex in the Vinaya Vidaka. And then, you know, men are supposed to be superior to women, so male sex disappears owing to powerful unprofitable karma, akusala. So as a result of akusala, male sex disappears, and the female sex appears owing to weak profitable karma. It is due to kusala karma, but it is a weak kusala karma. If it is strong kusala karma, then it will be a male sex and not female sex, and so on. So it is the addition made by the sub-commentator. According to the Visuddhi Magga, then there can be no classification into past continuity with regard to etc. With regard to karma born matter. But here he said there can be what we call the past, present, and future, even with regard to karma born matter, because sex change. So before the change, it was the past, and then change is the present, and then later, maybe some change back into the previous sex, then that may be the future. So there can be a classification into past continuity, etc., even with regard to karma born matter. So this was addition made by the sub-commentator. Okay, then according to period, that is any period among those such as one minute, morning, evening, day and night, etc., that occurs. So this minute is present, then the first minute is past, and the minute coming is future, and so on. Then according to moment, what is included in the trio of moments, that is the arising, presence and dissolution, three sub-moments. Beginning with arising is called present. So this is a real present. At a time previous to that it is future, at a time subsequent to that it is past. Furthermore, that whose functions of cause and condition have elapsed is past. Now here cause means producing and condition means supporting. That whose function of cause is finished and whose function of condition is unfinished is present. That means something, say something is caused by some other thing, and so the something which is caused is in existence now. So its origination is over, but its continuation or its being supported is still going on. So that is why whose function of cause is finished and whose function of condition is unfinished is present. Then which has not attained to either function is future. Or alternatively, the moment of the function is present. That means when a sudden matter or mind or whatever is doing its own function, then that is the present moment. At the time previous to that, it is future, and subsequent to that is the past. And there are we have the number 75, but that is misplaced or it is superfluous. So we can just rub it out, because there is 75 down in paragraph 192. So that is division into according to moment. And next, the division into internal and external. And it is already stated. Besides, it is internal in the sense of one's own, that should be understood here as internal, and that of another person as external. Now, in the footnote, the four kinds of internal are given. So, niyakat ajjata, internally in the sense of one's own, four kinds of ajjata, internal literally, belonging to oneself, are mentioned in the commentaries and sub-commentaries. And the first one is gocharajjata, internally as range or resort. Then ajjatajjata, internally as such. Then niyakajjata, internal in the sense of one's own. And then visayajjata, internally as objective field. Do you understand? Now, the first one, gocharajjata, is simply any internal object. So any internal object is called gocharajjata. The next one, ajjatajjata. That means very internal, because the two words are repeated here, ajjatajjata. So ajjatajjata. So internal. So by that is meant the five senses. Eye, ear, nose, tongue, and body. I mean eye sensitivity and so on. So they are called ajjatajjata. Or in the section on metta, they are called internal. In Pali, ajjatika. And then the third one here, niyakajjata. That means anything which arises in one's own continuity. And that is called ajjatajjata. And the last one, visayajjata, is really the attainment of fruition, phalasamapatti. Not internally as objective field. We can see that internally as scope. Because when the Buddha is in the phala attainment, then he has mastery over it. And so it is called visayajjata. So there are four kinds of internal or ajjata. And sometimes we are not sure which ajjata is meant. And so we have to find out. So here, internal and external, the first is just as is already stated in paragraph 73. And another way of explaining it is that internal in the sense of one's own, that means everything everything in me is internal, and everything in you is external. For you, everything in you is internal, and everything in others is external. Gross and subtle are all also already stated. Inferior and superior are twofold, namely figurative, relative, and absolutely literal. Here the materiality of the Suddhasin deities is inferior to the materiality of the Akhenator deities. You remember the 31 planes of existence. So he's referring to that. So Akhenator is the highest of the form Brahmas. So that is the most superior. And Suddhasin is one stage after Akhenator. So it goes that way. That same materiality of the Suddhasin deities is superior to the materiality of the Suddhasa deities. Thus firstly should the inferiority and superiority be understood figuratively, down as far as the denizens of hell. So one is superior to the next below it, and so on, until you reach the hell. But absolutely, literally, it is inferior where it arises as unprofitable result, and it is superior where it arises as profitable result. So, absolutely, or in ultimate sense, inferior is where it arises as the result of unprofitable karma, akusala karma. And that which arises as a result of kusala karma, profitable karma, is superior. And then far and near is also already described. Which is difficult to see is far, and which is not difficult to see or easy to see is near, and so on. Besides, relative farness and nearness should be understood here according to location. So according to location, we can say this is near and that is far. All that together in the must and in the gross. That is a passage mentioned in paragraph 185. By making all that materiality separately described by the words past, etc., into a collection by understanding its oneness, in other words, its characteristic of being molested, it comes to be called the materiality aggregate. Now this shows why they are called aggregates. Now here, materiality separately described by the words past and so on. So it is described as past, present, future, internal, external, gross, subtle, far, near, and so on. So that materiality, described in that way, is made into a collection by understanding in its oneness. I think the word in is missing there. In its oneness, in other words, its characteristic of being molested or of change. Now, the characteristic of rupa is change, right? Or say being molested. So with regard to this characteristic, all the matter described as past, present, and future are collected by understanding, and that is why it is called an aggregate. So by understanding should go with making a collection. So making a collection means you collect them up in your mind with understanding. Because say past, present, and future cannot exist at the same time. We can have only the present matter here. So the past is already past, and we cannot collect it, we cannot take it and put it here, and we cannot take the future and put it with the present physically. But in our minds, we can just group them together. So by understanding means in our minds we group them together and call it an aggregate. So the aggregate does not mean a group of does not necessarily mean a group of say different material properties. Now, for example, there are 28 kinds of material properties. These 28 are also called aggregate of matter. Now, aggregate, each one of the material properties can be called aggregate of matter. Not only when they are taken together. So let us say the eye sensitivity. Only one eye sensitivity is called an aggregate. Because there is eye sensitivity which is past, which is present, which is future, which is gross, which is subtle, which is inferior, which is superior, which is far, which is near. And so we group these different kinds of eye sensitivity together and call it a group, or call it an aggregate. So aggregate or group does not necessarily mean that there must be a real group of matter. So even one material particle, one feeling, one perception is called aggregate. So this explains why they are called aggregates. So by understanding should go with making into a collection. So making into a collection in the mind, in its oneness, that is its characteristic here with regard to matter being molested or changed. with regard to feeling, it is what? The characteristic of feeling. With regard to perception, its characteristic of perception. And with regard to consciousness, then its characteristic of knowing the object and so on. So this is the reason why even one particle of matter or one mental factor is called an aggregate. By these two it is shown that the materiality aggregate is all materiality, which all comes into the collection with the characteristic of being molested. For there is no materiality aggregate apart from materiality. And so on, feeling and also the same. So it is the classification of first aggregate, rupa aggregate, into 11 heads. Now the feeling aggregate. In the classification into past, etc., the past, future, and present state of feeling should be understood according to continuity and according to moment and so on, the same as in material aggregate. Here, according to continuity, that includes in a single cognitive series. Again, that means five-door thought process. A single impulsion, it means mind-door thought process. And a single attainment, and that occurring in association with objective field of one kind, one object is present. Before that is past, and subsequent is future. Then according to moment, that feeling included in the trio of moments, three moments, which is in between the past time and the future time, and which is performing its own function, which is doing its own function, so it is a really present one, is present. Before that is past, and subsequent is future, and then internal and external. Then gross and subtle. Now, gross and subtle should be understood according to kind, according to individual essence, according to person, and according to mundane and supramundane. Now, according to kind, the unprofitable feeling is a state of disquiet because it is the cause of reprehensible actions and because it produces burning of defilement. That means defilements that are burning, not burning away the defilements. So I don't want you to take to understand in that sense. So burning of defilement really means defilements that are called burning. So it is gross. And because it is accompanied by interestedness, that means activeness and drive and result. And because of the burning of the defilements, the same thing. And because it is reprehensible, it is gross compared with resultant, indeterminate, and so on. So here, one is described as gross or subtle, relatively with other kind of feeling. Say in kusala feeling, akusala feeling, indeterminate abhyagata feeling, and so on. And then according to individual essence, the painful feeling is gross compared with the others because it is without enjoyment. It involves intervention. So intervention really means shaking, non-peacefulness, and it causes disturbance. It creates anxiety, and it is overpowering. And the other two are subtle compared with the painful because they are satisfying, peaceful, and superior, and respectively agreeable and neutral. And so this is the reason for their being subtle and gross. It also, their relative states of subtleness and grossness. According to person, feeling in one who has no attainment, I would say who is not in attainment. A person may have attainment, but if he is not in that attainment at the moment, then his feeling could be, say, gross. So feeling in one who is not in attainment is gross compared with that in one who is in attainment, because it is distracted by a multiple object. In the opposite sense, the other is subtle. This is how grossness and subtlety should be understood according to person. So when a person is in attainment of jhana or in attainment of phala, fruition, his feeling is said to be subtle, and if it is not in attainment, it is said to be gross. According to the mundane and supramundane, so feeling subject to kankas is mundane. Subject to kankas means object of kankas, which can be the object of kankas, asavas, or just mental defilements. And that is gross compared with that free from kankas, because it is a cause for the arising of kankas. It's liable to the floods, liable to the bonds, liable to the ties, liable to the hindrances, liable to the clingings, defiable, and shared by ordinary man. Now these floods, bonds, ties, hindrances, and clingings, defiable, and to understand them, I would like to refer you to the Manual of Abhidhamma, Chapter 7. In fact, the mental defilements are given different names. So the same mental defilement, for example, lobha. Lobha is a mental defilement. Lobha is given the name of, say, kanka, flood, bond, hindrance, clinging, and so on. So Buddha described these in different ways to suit the susceptibility of his listeners to understanding. And they are taught in Abhidhamma as well as in some suttas. So to understand them, the best place to go is to the Manual of Abhidhamma. So in Chapter 7 of the Manual of Abhidhamma, they are all described. And about towards the end, or almost to the end of the book, we will find them again, when how these defilements are eradicated by different path consciousness, that they will be mentioned again. So the first path consciousness eradicates two of the defilements or three of the defilements, and so on. So we'll find them later. Almost at the end of the book. Shared by ordinary man means those that arise in putujanas. The latter, in the opposite sense, is subtle compared with that subject to kankas. So those that are not subject to kankas, those that are not the object of kankas, is subtle. This is how grossness and subtlety should be understood according to the mundane and supramundane. And then there is the warning. One should beware of mixing up. Because if you mix up, you will mix up. You'll be confused. So beware of. The Pali word actually means avoid. So one should avoid mixing up the classifications according to kind and so on. So just do according to one, say to according to kind or according to some other thing, but not mix them together. So if you mix them together, then there will be contradiction. So according to one, it may be subtle, but according to another, it may be gross. So that is what the commentary gives here. So according to individual, and it is said that indeterminate feeling is subtle. painful feeling is gross. The feeling in one with an attainment is subtle, or this is the passage from Vibhanga. Now, like painful feeling, so also pleasant, etc., is gross according to the kind and subtle according to the individual essence. So, let's say dukkha, right? Pain. Pain is gross according to its individual essence, because it inflicts us. But since it is indeterminate, in another sense, it is abhyagata. It is neither kusala nor akusala, right? This is abhyagata. So it is subtle, because abhyagata are described to be subtle. So if we mix these two, then we will get nowhere. According to one, it is subtle. According to another, it is gross. So do not mix them up. For instance, when it is said, the indeterminate according to kind is subtle compared with the profitable and the unprofitable, the individual essence, class, etc., must not be insisted upon like this. So, which kind of indeterminate? You don't ask these questions. Is it the painful? Is it the pleasant? Is it the one in attainment? Is it that the one not in attainment? Is it that subject to kangas? Is it that free from kangas? And so on in each instance. So you cannot ask these questions. Furthermore, because of the words, all feeling should be regarded as gross or subtle in comparison with this or that feeling. Among the unprofitable, etc., feeling accompanied by hate too is gross compared with that accompanied by greed, because it burns up its own support like a fire. And that accompanied by greed is subtle. Also, that accompanied by hate is gross when the hate is constant, and subtle when it is inconstant. I wonder whether you understand that. In order to correctly understand it, you have to understand Abhidhamma. You have to go to the first book of Abhidhamma. Because the words constant and inconstant here do not mean the same as we had before. Formerly, the word constant and inconstant are used to refer to cetasikas, right? Which go along with a given cheta all the time. Every time that cheta arises, it also arises. That is called constant. But there are some cetasikas which do not arise every time a given cheta arises. So they are called constant and inconstant. But here, although the Pali word is the same, the meaning is very different. And you have to have a knowledge of the first book of Abhidhamma to understand this. So constant here means actually a fixed as to giving results in next life. They are sure to give results in next life. So they are such a karma or such hate or anger is called constant. Inconstant means not fixed as to giving results in the next life. Now, for example, killing one's own mother, killing one's own father, and so on. So when you kill your own father or your mother, there is dosa, right? So that dosa is called fixed, because it will invariably give results in the next life. That means you will go to hell. There is no way of avoiding that. Now, you may kill an animal. There also you have dosa. That dosa will give you result in, say, in woeful stage, but not necessarily in the next life. You may get the result of the killing of an animal in other lives. Or you may in the next life. So that is not fixed. But killing one's own mother and one's own father, killing an arahant, wounding the Buddha, and causing schism in the Sangha, these five are called the very grievous sins in Buddhism. And so if you do one of these, then you will surely go to hell in the next life. There is no way of avoiding that. So such are called constant here. And subtle when it is inconstant. And the constant is gross when giving result that lasts for the aeon while the other is subtle. So among the fixed as to the giving of results, there are two subdivisions. Whose result lasts for the aeon and whose results last not for the aeon. That means, I'll give you an example. You know Ajatasattu and Devadatta. Ajatasattu was the son of King Bimbisara. And Devadatta was Buddha's cousin and brother-in-law. Ajatasattu killed his own father at the instigation of Devadatta. So Devadatta asked, Devadatta wanted to become the Buddha himself. So he thought, nowadays people live long lives, so we cannot wait until they die. So you kill your own father and be a king, and I'll kill my brother and be a Buddha. So he instigated Ajatasattu to kill his own father. So Ajatasattu killed his own father. So there is